Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, no matter where on the globe you are. It's the Paul Richard Price Show with your host, Paul Richard Price. Today, I'm going to be talking about a subject, and I have two guests who are going to be, I'm going to interview, who were good friends with the late Gordon Novell, who passed away yesterday after a series of complications due to diabetes. And Gordon was a notorious man in conspiratorial history. Gordon is originally from, or was originally from, pardon the expression, I'm still trying to get over the fact that he's no longer with us. Gordon was originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, and he has been very much connected with the key players of the Kennedy assassination, Dave Farian and Jack Ruby and the rest of them. He was close personal friends with Lee Harvey Oswald. It was rumored that Gordon Novell was the infamous umbrella man during the JFK assassination who helped direct the shots that eventually killed John F. Kennedy. I had known him for a while because of his work with the RAM Project, which would have hopefully, had he not passed, could have opened it up to where any gravity and free energy devices would have been used by us all. RAM was called Replication Alien Machine. It later turned to Gravionics Incorporated. Gordon had connections within the intelligence community. Colonel John B. Alexander, the man who's known in circles and UFO circles as a member of a UFO group called the Aviary. He was good friends with Gordon Novell, and he also was the inventor of the non-lethal weapons program that the military is now currently using to develop non-lethal weapons technology. That's John Alexander. Other connections of Gordon's is Ron Pandolfi from the Central Intelligence Agency, Dr. Pandolfi, Dr. Hal Putoff, the founder of the Remote Viewing Program, Victoria Alexander, John Alexander's wife, and many others. He's also noted for his work on trying to free the hostages in 1979. Which led him to years imprisonment in Iran, which led him to a year's imprisonment in a Iranian prison. Later on, he worked on the Waco incident. He was the one who released a FLIR video that showed that ATF agents and military had shot into the Branch Davidian compound and killed several people in cold blood. He later worked on investigative work on 9/11. He was a private investigator. And also, going back to the 1960s, he also was the primary investigator for Jim Garrison's investigation into the JFK assassination. And he's the one who actually botched the investigation for Garrison. He passed away yesterday after a long bout with an illness that he had had. He had complications due to his diabetes. It is my concerted opinion that certain entities took advantage of that to finally silence him for good. It has moved his son, sir, and his two daughters to set up a memorial for Gordon, a man with a really unique past, was the son of a famous burlesque entertainer, the illegitimate son, and his mother was a famous burlesque dancer. He later became an electronics countermeasures officer. It was rumored that he worked for the Central Intelligence Agency, even though he On one side would deny it. On the other side, he would say yes. So you never knew about Gordon. He was a man of many, many different colors. You'd been working so hard on getting the RAM group going and getting this alien reproduction vehicle technology out into the public domain that he claimed that it made him a target for certain government agencies that did not want this technology out there in the public domain. Not only technology or government agencies, but also technological groups and corporations that would not benefit, and it would be counterintuitive for them to financially for them to release the technology because it would end the need for fossil fuels. Now, the issue with Gordon Novell is he was an interesting character. He could have done many things, you know, with his life, but he, in a lot of ways, was a larger-than-life character. And I think, in my opinion, he liked it that way. He liked being the center of attention. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and add. I'm going to go ahead and add Carrie Cassidy to our discussion. And as you know, Carrie Cassidy had interviewed Gordon Novell for Project Cantaloupe. And Carrie, are you currently on the line right now?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and I'm about to send you the email that Sir, his son, actually sent everybody regarding Gordon passing away. Now, I don't know what happened. He didn't really specify it. I know that Gordon was having issues with his health, and then reportedly he was doing better.
Right.
But then he abruptly passed away. A friend of mine, Tom Sullivan, who knows Gordon and who was the VP of RAM Gravionics, told me he thought Gordon may have passed away because of a heart attack due to what he was had been experiencing, the illness.
I see. Well, I'm very saddened because, you know, he had a lot of dreams. Contrary to what a lot of people thought about him, I really believe that he had a very good heart, and that he really wanted to do good for humanity. He seemed to be working since the time I knew him, which, albeit was after he had perhaps taken part in some rather unsavory things in his life, etc. It seemed to me that he was working very hard to sort of turn that around. And so it saddens me that he's now not able to continue his work, because I know that he had huge dreams for the future.
And even you and I both know, you know, that I was directly involved with RAM Gravionics myself.
Yes.
Gordon tapped me for my knowledge in anti-gravity physics. I had done a paper, and I've also, you want to explain to people who Gordon Novell was in kind of a brief synopsis, if you would, Gary. I'll let you go ahead.
Oh, well, I can only say that he was most notorious for his possible role in the Kennedy assassination and the Nixon White House. He was responsible for, in fact, walking up the Nixon White House and taping. He later, I mean, these works was before. Before I did my interview with him, my interview became his calling card, as a matter of fact, and I was told many times that it was shown all over the halls of the CIA, as well as in other agencies. People did get kind of a huge kick out of it, because there's a lot of sort of back and forth bantering. People may or may not know that Gordon had a handler who was there at the time, who was monitoring Gordon and what Gordon said, and also consulting Gordon on what he should and shouldn't say during my interview. So people will have to understand that also the interview was sent to the CIA for vetting. Now, the interesting thing about vetting, of course, in that kind of circumstance is if they tell you to take something out, then you know for sure that it's true. So they actually are in a catch-22 when they try to do something like that. And basically, they did not do so. They did not tell me to take anything out, and I did not take anything out of that interview. So what you see is what you get. As I say, Gordon was actually quite brilliant. I don't know if people realize that, but he had a brilliant mind. And he was working towards the end of his life on creating a free energy, what he called, based on the ARV. I just had Mark McCandlish on my show, who designed the ARV, at least the design on paper that was based on an alien. They called it an alien reproduction vehicle. And that became sort of the prototype of what Gordon wanted to build, in some ways a duplicate of what had already been built, well, first by the visiting ETs and secondly by the space program. But Gordon wanted to bring this into the public arena. That was his baby, and that was his dream. He wanted to bring free energy to the entire planet, albeit he was willing to work with the CIA to do so, which in many people's eyes would make him a less than honorable character. But in the current situation, people that try to even talk about or work in the areas of free energy are often shut down, and this continues to happen around the globe. And Gordon, I guess you might say, was a pragmatist, but he also was somebody who had big dreams. And I believe that he fully and completely believed in his dreams. And people have to understand that when the CIA uses somebody like that, they do so with full knowledge that the being themselves is fully engaged in believing in whatever it is. And what happens with the dark side of an agency, such as the CIA, is they use that to their advantage. And so Gordon was putting together a huge team to bring this, as I say, free energy and you know, UFO technology, so to speak, to the public. He got very close to funding, and he had, I believe he had, towards the end, he had Stephen Greer on board, as a matter of fact, who was helping to fund his efforts, and others. He was initially working with Hal Pudoff, who's quite a well-known scientist and well-regarded scientist. I don't know. I heard that fell through. But at any rate, I think he was also encouraged to work with Jack Sarfati, who's a notorious physicist. Many people will know his name. He was working. His very close friend was Ron Pandolfi, who was head of, at least for a time, was head of the CIA so-called Weird Desk, having to do with UFOs and things of this nature. But what Ron Pandolfi's current title is, I don't know. Once you're in the CIA, you're always in the CIA. So I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that Ron Pandolfi is still a fully engaged CIA member and employee, whatever you want to call that. But what I also noticed about the relationship is that Gordon would reach a certain level of success, and then he would be knocked back down. I would liken him to Sisyphus, the myth about I think it's Sisyphus anyway, who rolls the boulder up the mountain only to be pushed back down again, right when he gets to the top. So that was in essence Gordon's kind of fate. And I don't think he realized that he was being used constantly as a patsy. I told him to his face, we had many discussions off the record through the years. And he was a very strong-willed individual. He talked very sort of, I don't know what you'd call that. He was sort of coarse in his use of language and his, he acted like a tough guy, like from the movies, like from a 1940s movie. But some of that was bluster, in my opinion, although I have no doubt that he would back up with the real thing if he was in a position to do so, and probably did on occasion.
Well, let me tell you, he had a grand use of colorful metaphors, to say the very least. I mean, that guy, and some of the diatribe he had between him and Jack Sarfati is classic. Oh my goodness.
Yes. So that's what I would say. I'm going to take a short break here and let you continue. I will be right back, but I need to post this on my website so I can let people know. And also I will let them know that we're here on the radio talking about him.
Okay, go right ahead, Carrie. And one thing I was going to tell everybody, he was a notorious character. That guy, you know, he had a way with the ladies. I'll have to admit that. He was a consummate ladies' man. His kids really didn't know him that well, which is not a bad thing. They didn't know him that well. But he, as it turns out, had a good heart in some aspects, you know, wanted to help people. But it turned out that with people like Ron Pandolfi and many others, the issue is that it actually caused Gordon a lot more it was more problematic for Gordon than what it was an asset to him, because they were stopping him using whatever means necessary. And whether or not you believe in the ARV, the alien reproduction vehicle or not, or if you want to call it an alien reproduction vehicle, you might want to consider that even if we had that technology, which I do believe we currently do, and it was built here in Terra Firma on Earth, it showed a quantum leap, bottom line, in what our capabilities were, what we were able to do even at the time when that thing was built back in 1956 originally, from what I understand. And since then, they further advanced it. If you want to think about the TR-3D Black Manta program, that's a further refined advancement on the ARV concept. And that's it. And that is reportedly an anti-gravity drone that they use to, you know, to photograph certain areas of the world, and nobody questions it. They think it's a UFO when it's actually something made here on Earth. Gordon tried to get that technology out because he thought that it would benefit mankind. It has benefited the military because it gives them point-to-point transport capability. Bud Rich, the former head of the Lockheed Skunk Works before he died, mentioned that we had a way to get to the stars. We have warp drive and other capabilities, but it would take an act of God for them to release the classifications needed to get that technology out into the public domain. Gordon and his flamboyance tried to get it done. When Carrie comes back, I'm going to ask her, in effect, what her belief is. Gordon always stated that if anything were to happen to him, he believed that he would be murdered. And there's always that possibility that Gordon Novell was, let's say that his handlers in the CIA decided that he was no longer of any use, so they poisoned him. He had blood poisoning before he died, but he actually overcame that. They put him in a forced chemically induced coma to help his body heal, and it seemed like he was doing well. And then all of a sudden, abruptly, the man dies. His son won't even go into detail or to explain what happened. And I'm wondering if his handler, Ron Pandolfi, might know more than what anyone knows, or even John Alexander or the rest of the aviary. One might ponder, but I hate to tell you this, I don't think that he will ever really know. But Gordon was a brilliant but tortured man, a tortured soul. He was the son of a vaudevillian burlesque dancer. His father was Billy Rose, the famous musician. And he never knew, you know, he had a hard life. Granted that he overcame a lot of it. However, throughout his hard life, and he was somewhat had some sides of that showed a potential towards where he had no conscience. He did what he was told, and he just did it, what he was ordered to do. I'll put it that way. I'm trying to, you know, not speak ill of the man. But along with us right now is Jerry Pippin. And we are discussing the life and times of the notorious but interesting individual named Gordon Novell. And Jerry, thank you again for joining the show today.
It's a pleasure being here. Unfortunately, it's a sad situation. I know you've been talking about Gordon Novell, and we've known him for a long time, and he was a rascal in many ways, but a delightful individual in many other ways. And the world will not be the same, for sure, without Gordon Novell.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, could you tell my audience today about your recollections of Gordon? And a little bit of a brief history. I tried to get Carrie to chime in, and she was quite emotional about the situation, and I understand that. Gordon was very close to her, as he was with you and I both. I've known Gordon going on nearly nine years now. I mean, he stayed over at my house quite a few times. There have been, let's just say he's an interesting character. First of all, before we get into the history, do you think that they might have killed him?
I don't know. There have been several of us that have had mysterious illnesses develop, including Gordon. Gordon, that's jumping to a big conclusion, but it's certainly possible. He was 74. And he did live a pretty exciting but difficult life that was tough on him physically. So it's a little hard to say. I heard a little bit of your monologue a while ago, just before I came on. As you know, I've had some strange illnesses pop up here in the last year. But I can't prove anything. I mean, we're getting old, and that's all I can say. So my mind is open about that, but I'd like to remember Gordon today on this show in a way that maybe some people didn't know him. And you mentioned you've known him at least 8 years. I've known him about the same length of time, maybe a little longer. And I thought it was interesting that you did bring up the fact about the vaudeville dancer and the history of show business and Gordon's family. And Gordon went to a place that I always wanted to go to, and to be an actor and a director, and that was the Pasadena Playhouse. Back when Gordon and I were young, the Pasadena Playhouse was the place you went if you wanted to be an actor, especially if you wanted to be a film actor in Hollywood. And Gordon actually made it there. I never made it there. I did go out to Hollywood and try my luck at acting and some mixed success, but not very, very much. And I was in love with broadcasting, so it wasn't a big blow to me that I wasn't the silver screen star. Gordon had a lifelong love with movies, and anybody that knew him knew, and they've heard, you can hear interviews that Kerry Cassidy's done with him, and I've done with him. They're all archived. He has a flair for the dramatic, has a flair for the theatrical. He never really got over that. But he's probably most known as private investigator. And he had a checkered career there as well. And we can talk about that if you want to in a little bit. But the first time I met Gordon in person, I'd been corresponding with him for a couple of years before that, was in Laughlin, Nevada. We all decided to meet in Laughlin, Gordon Novell, Jim Mars, and myself, and we were getting together to figure out what we wanted to do about 9/11 as far as a broadcast and a series, which is still going on the Jerry Pippin Show, as a matter of fact. And Kerry Cassidy's done some great work in that area, and along with Bill Ryan and others. And so the first time I met Gordon, I was interested in several things, and the impressions that I can bring back to me was he was wired. By that, I mean that in two ways. First of all, he was a very nervous individual. He had a lot of energy. And he's wired in that way, but he was wired literally. He had, when people really weren't walking around with cell phones and other, he had a BlackBerry, and, but he's one of the first ones I ever knew that had a BlackBerry. And he was constantly on that thing, talking to people, back and forth, had an earplug in. While we were having breakfast, I remember we had Jim Mars and a movie producer who I unfortunately can't remember who it was, because this was a meeting back in 2006 or 7, maybe 2005 in Laughlin. We were there at the time. It was the Flamingo Hotel. And we were down having breakfast, and Gordon shows up late. Jim and I were there, and this movie person and Roberta Scott from our staff, who does our location producing. And Gordon came in, and we started talking, and most of the time he was busy. Even in a conversation in which we were talking about business, he was busy on his BlackBerry talking to other people. And he liked to drop names of people in the CIA and other places, and he loved the people at the CIA. And even though he told me more than once that he never worked for the CIA, now he was a kind of a third-party contractor, and he more or less worked out of the White House. But he was quite an individual from those standpoints. And I remember the first thing that I remember about him, besides being wiry and wired, is the fact that he wasn't a big man. He was shorter than me. And he no doubt he could take care of himself physically, no doubt about that. And he was quite a ladies' man. Even though Gordon was not necessarily a good-looking fellow, but he had some charm about him, and we all know that there's a little little bit of all of us that are infatuated by people who have lived a little clandestine life. So that's my memories of Gordon Novell the first time I met him. I remember one time in Roswell, you and Gordon came by our booth, and we were talking as well. And that was about the same time frame, maybe a year later. It gets confusing as we go through life here, and I keep talking to people about the time frames. But Gordon always was available to talk, and Gordon had some interesting stories to tell, and I had some interesting experiences with him.
Well, my initial meeting with Gordon Novell started with Ron Pandolfi, an email I sent to him regarding getting funding for anti-gravity research, so he directed me to Gordon Novell. And I'm going, okay, I know who Gordon is. He was the Umbrella Man. I remembered that. And he also was the guy who turned on, reportedly, Jim Garrison during his investigation into the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, we did several interviews with Gordon about that Jim Garrison thing. He was very candid about it. For some reason, Gordon didn't care for Jim Garrison. And I would talk to other people who were involved, and they didn't seem to care for Gordon. And so I guess there's a mutual dislike there. But Gordon befriended Jim Garrison, came in, worked undercover, and reported everything back to the White House, according to what Gordon told me. Paris Lamond, who was the producer for Long John Neville, was down there in New Orleans at the same time. And he thought Gordon was all lip and no go. And that was part of Gordon's persona, you know. That's part of his personality. And at the same time, it was something that Gordon was quite proud of, really. And that some of these unsavory characters that he considered them unsavory, well, he basically delighted in the fact that they didn't like him. It's kind of like a burr under the saddle, as they say in the old Western movies. And it was a role he enjoyed playing, and I can certainly understand that, because that's the best way to really get down to the nitty-gritty of a story, is you make the other person lose their cool a little bit, and then they start saying things and talking about things that they wouldn't do. And Gordon was a master at investigating like that. I used to think I was pretty good at it, but he was a lot better. And one of our favorite tricks of both of us is to call people early in the morning. You call somebody about 4:30 in the morning, and they answer the phone. This is before you really had caller ID and people could ignore you. But you call them up about 4:30 in the morning with some amazing fact, like why did you kill John Doe? You'd be surprised at some of the answers you get. And so you get your recording going, and that's the way you, you know, but the bigger they are, the people I'm talking about you're investigating, the harder they fall. And Gordon knew that very well.